Afternoon Theatre. The Sport of Angels by Ken Whitmore.
Oh, Godfrey, there you are. Run and wash your hands.
They're not all that dirty, actually, Mummy.
Please, can we not have this battle every time you come in? And look where you're going. You're going to trip over Daddy. Oh, dear. Daddy's feet.
Sorry, Daddy.
Oh, hop it, Godfrey. Just hop it and do what your mother says.
I'll drop the hat box.
So I see.
My contraption.
Well, then pick it up.
Oh, Godfrey, you've got to bust it again.
No, I haven't. If Daddy wouldn't sprawl his feet out all over the carpet. Hmm? Anyway, I bet it's still working.
Go and wash, darling. There's a dear.
I'll just switch on to see no damage is done.
All right, Daphne. Send him in.
There, loud and clear.
Colonel Bryant to see you, sir.
Oh, yes. Come in. Come in, Colonel. Where would you take a seat?
You? Where's number one?
Well, it's all right. I can explain. If you would just close the door.
All right. What the hell's going on? Why are you sitting at one's desk?
I'm afraid there's been a bit of a flap on.
Oh?
Yes. One's gone over to the other side.
What for?
He's defected. Done a bunk.
Done what? Oh, come, you'll have to pull the other one.
Yes, rather shattering, isn't it?
You mean it's true? But by God, he and I were practically brothers. Rode in the same eight. Look here, are you absolutely sure about
this? Oh, beyond all doubt. He's blown all our agents.
Good grief. We were companions in distress, you know. Both had a duet in Lhasa. Mm. Look here, what's your name?
Mablethorpe.
Tell me, Mablethorpe, I never forget a face. Didn't you used to be in accounts?
Yes, I was the assistant cashier.
Petty cash, that's where I've seen you.
Yes, sir.
Well, what are you doing here?
I'm the new number one.
But what happened to number two? What happened to number three, number four?
I'm afraid it's a pretty bad show.
What do you mean?
They all went over with number one. I'm afraid there's been something of a mass exodus. Right down to number 12, actually.
This puts me in something of a quandary.
Oh?
Yes.
Anything I can do?
I came in here to hand over a very sensitive piece of information.
Oh?
I don't know if you're qualified to handle it. That's the trouble. No, I think it should go to a higher level. Yes, you bet your socks it should.
I'm afraid there isn't one. Higher level, I mean.
God, what a cock-up. Look, it's nothing personal, Mablethorpe, but I don't think you're cut out for this job, to be brutally frank.
Well, nor do I, sir. Off the record.
Good. You got any languages?
Just Swahili.
Just Swahili? Is that a fact?
Oh, yes, sir.
Nini Bay Ndizi?
Bay Zilapanda.
Where'd you pick that up?
My father was a missionary.
Yeah, he must have been. Well, very well, in that case. Look here, lean a bit closer, will you?
Well?
A dozen defections, eh? Smells bad. Looks as if we've fallen desperately behind, eh?
Rather.
Well, just listen to this. I heard something tonight that could put us back on level pegging, if not in front.
Go on.
I'm going on. Listen closely. This could be the most amazing intelligence breakthrough of all time, and I don't want you to bungle it, understand? Pay attention.
Yes?
Head a little closer.
Yes.
Ever heard of a woman named Dawn Bembo?
Dawn Bembo. Mm. Oh, Dawn Bembo, the novelist.
That's the one. Now pay attention. Head a little closer. I've just been dining at Boodle's.
Oh, yes.
It was ladies' night, and I usually give it a wide berth, only I'd forgotten. Mm. Well, who should I bump into but this Dawn Bembo creature? Mm. The woman was drunk, as I fear she often is. In other words, her tongue was loose.
Ah. Oh.
Now, just listen to what she let slip, Mablethorpe. Head a little closer. Now, what she
Oh, Godfrey, I was listening to that.
Sorry, I'll try to get it back.
Oh, for Pete's sake, Godfrey, put a blasted sock in it.
Sorry, what?
Switch that stupid contraption off, it's driving me potty.
Mummy said she wanted it.
She didn't want that infernal cacophony, you silly chump.
Alistair, no need to bite his head off.
Why not? He nearly blew mine off, didn't he?
Daddy, another cup of tea.
Oh, thank you, Gladys.
I wonder how poor old Mablethorpe's getting on.
Yes. And that Dawn, thingy?
Bembo. Yes. I wonder what her amazing secret is. There you are, Daddy.
Thank you, darling.
Godfrey, take another scone if you want. And don't sulk.
Don't want a silly scone.
I beg your pardon, Godfrey.
No, thank you.
Please don't sulk, darling.
I'm sorry, Godfrey, but the only sound one requires after a hard day's gardening is silence. Silence accentuated by a silver spoon gently revolving in a china cup.
Afternoon tea.
What, dear?
He said afternoon tea in tones of boredom, bitterness and desolation.
Well, it is boring.
Now, Godfrey.
We never see anybody, not even a cow flicking its tail.
And what do you want to see a cow for?
Look, why don't you both go out and play in the fresh air? The sun's shining.
It's always shining. That's the trouble. Always 4 o'clock in the afternoon and tea and scones. Always the same stupid afternoon with nothing going on.
There's plenty going on. Grasshoppers chirping. Come and lend a hand with my bonfire. I've got a lovely blaze going.
We've been here forever, stuck in this ghastly place. Prisoners.
Why, you silly darling. You're as free as the birds.
Mind if I light a pipe, dear?
As long as you take it in the garden after 5 minutes.
Mummy?
Yes, my angel?
Do you like it here?
Oh, yes, I think it's heaven.
Don't pick your nose, old boy. It's a filthy habit.
Well, that's all there is to do.
When did you last have a wash?
Just now. I'm not dirty, am I, Mummy?
No, just 2 shades paler than a crow. Well, I'm off to the garden. Any volunteers?
I'll come and squash a few caterpillars for you.
We haven't got any, Touchwood.
Oh, no, I swatted all the butterflies. We could have a slug-bashing expedition, put our big boots on and dance up and down.
No, that's all right, old boy. I think the pellets are doing the trick.
I know. Have you seen those huge fat frogs living in the rockery? Well, we could put a frog in a box of Vestas.
Godfrey, no!
And then wheel the garden roller over it.
Don't be scrunch, gloop, bleh. Don't be foul. Daddy, don't let Godfrey go in the garden. He put all my snails in the oven and cooked them.
Oh, boo-hoo, put my snails in the oven. Snails are edible. Didn't you know that, clever drawers?
They were my pets, Mr. and Mrs. Pickford.
Because they were always moving house. How blooming quaint.
Oh, you are a little stinker.
Cry, baby.
Torturer.
Stinkball.
Children.
Foul unwashed brat.
Lamby fan.
Jane.
God, pipe down.
Finished? Right. I'll go and seek a bit of silence. I'll see you all later.
All right. Switch on, Godfrey. Let's see how poor Mabel Thorpe and her thingy are getting on.
Dawn Bembo. Yes, switch on, Godfrey.
I should think we've missed it all by now. Let's play the game instead.
What, with the contraption? Oh, but Mummy and I were listening, weren't we, Mummy?
Well, it's Godfrey's contraption, darling. He made it. He can do what he likes with it.
But he needn't think I'm playing. He was interfering with all my players last time, making them change sides.
Well, you give me a game, Mummy.
Oh, darling, you know I've no head for games or puzzles.
It's an absolute doddle, honestly. No brain work.
Oh, all right. Just a quick one. But you'll have to show me what to do.
Well, it's best if we kneel on the carpet. Hmm? Me on one side and you on the other and the hat box in the middle. Right, there we are.
Godfrey, what are all those wires hanging out? Is it safe to touch?
They're just holding it together.
You sure I won't get a shock?
Of course not. It's only run on a Pentorch battery. OK, off with the lid.
Oh, a luminous screen.
Yes. Just press the button by your left hand. Mm. No, that's for listening in. I said left hand.
Sorry, darling. This one? Oh, a map. How clever, sweetheart.
Yes, a map of the world. Now, in the game, you rule one half and I rule the other.
Of the world?
World.
A world, I see. And what's the object of the game?
To make sure your side wins.
And how does one do that?
Well, you can either make people or events.
Yes. And how does one do that?
With these counters.
Oh, Ludo counters.
Well, sort of. Now, when it's your turn, you take a counter and make either a person or a happening. You do that like this. Watch. I put my counter in this slot. Then I put these electrodes to my temples like this. And switch on. Now, I concentrate very hard on the person I want to make, and all my thoughts flow into the counter.
I see. You're thinking of a person, are you? Well, can't you say it out loud so I'll get some idea?
Oh, all right. A great germ war inventor. Long wavy hair and mutton chop whiskers. Hates the entire world setup and wants to wipe it out. Okay, that's enough. Now, I press down this lever. And there he goes, swimming in among all the rest.
You mean there's a great germ war inventor in there now? But darling, won't he poison everybody?
With any luck.
Godfrey, I don't think I like this game.
Neither do I. He's taken all the pleasure out of it. But it was jolly good fun at first when we just played looking after.
Looking after, darling? What's that?
Oh, just taking care of everybody and having fun. We just made farmers and doctors and shopkeeper kind of people and hokey pokey men. Daddy always made gardeners. But then this pipsqueak started making generals and admirals and great germ warfare inventors, and I just lost interest. I'd rather have my doll's house any time. Even though somebody, whose name I won't mention, has poured black treacle down the chimney and put moustaches on all the ancestral portraits, including the lady.
Mummy, when she's finished her wind solo, are we playing or not?
Oh, yes, very well. I don't like you messing about with that treacle, Godfrey.
So, we toss up for sides. Heads or tails? Right, you call.
Heads.
Heads it is. What do you want, the west or the rest?
What's the difference?
This is the west over here.
All right, I'll have that.
Now, you've got Belgium, Britain, France, Greenland, Finland, Holland, Ireland, Italy, Spain, Sweden...
Oh, stop! I can't possibly remember all those names.
And the United States. That's yours.
Oh?
Oh, no, it's down here, look.
Oh, yes, I see. Now, what's this enormous lump here?
The Soviet Union.
That's Godfrey's. Keep an eye on it.
Oh, honestly, I'm sorry, Godfrey.
What for?
I think this is all a bit beyond my poor, feeble brain.
What do you mean?
All those names to remember.
But it's absolutely basic.
Not to Mummy.
Oh, you are thick sometimes.
What?
Sorry.
Address me like that again, my lad, and you'll get a cauliflower ear.
I'm sorry, Mummy, but honestly, a complete idiot could play it.
Well, I couldn't.
But you could.
Oh, Godfrey, you're so dogmatic.
I'm not dogmatic. I'm just telling you.
Oh, my goodness. Don't be such a crybaby.
Godfrey, wipe your nose.
Not on your sleeve, darling.
Yeah. Borrow mine.
Look, why don't you go and play with your catapult?
Oh, Mummy. Must you encourage
him? Oh, why don't you shut your moronic gob?
Just don't shoot at the birds, that's all.
No, darling, promise you won't shoot at the pretty birds.
What about the ugly ones?
And don't bandy words with me. Now, off you go before I change my mind.
Oh, all right.
And of course you won't fire at Daddy. I love him dearly, but he does try my patience. Now, shall we listen in, dear? Which knob do I turn? This one? Goodness, no. Oh, Gladys, come here and show Mummy how one goes about listening in.
You put the lid back for a start. There. Now, this is the tuner, Mummy, see?
Oh.
What would you like?
Oh, find me something relaxing.
What kind of help is that, Finn McConnell?
Adolf Hitler? Not today, thank you.
He's punched one more four through the covers and is now facing...
Oh, no, it's hot enough without cricket. You know what I long for? A wild, wet night. Black city streets. Torrents of rain simply whizzing past the street lamps and bouncing up off the pavements, gushing and gurgling along the gutters, pelting, belting, matchstick chasing rain. And a stranger battling along against the wind. A stranger on a sinister errand, bent under a big black umbrella, struggling towards a house, showing just a yellow cotton thread of light. Listen! I believe I found it! Oh, goody!
Yes?
Oh, good evening.
Good evening.
It's jolly wet.
Yes?
I wonder if Miss Bembo might be at home.
Yes.
Are you she? I mean, do you happen to be her?
I'm Dawn Bembo.
Ah, I wonder if I might come in.
What for?
Oh, my card.
Let me see.
What? Are you certain you've got the right girl?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I suppose you'd better come in. Tis a naughty night to swim in.
Oh, rather.
Look, I'd better confess at once.
Oh?
I admit all. I'm at the dark centre of a spy web. You may take down my particulars.
I beg your pardon?
Sorry. A little joke, you know? Yes. Well, well, we'd better have that coat off.
Yes.
Mind my alpenstock.
Oh, I'm most dreadfully sorry.
No damage. Are you all right?
Yes, perfectly.
Bless you. You could use a drink.
Oh, thank you. If you have a very small dry Madeira...
I think we might manage that. Do take a seat.
Oh,
get
yes.
Right on top of the fire. Ooh. I was just settling down to a serious night's drinking, matter of fact.
Oh, yes.
Gateshead Gold Ale, that's my tipple.
Oh, really?
Yes, in vast quantities.
Ah.
I don't often entertain gentlemen callers, though.
No, nor do I.
All on account of being so hideously plain.
Oh, I don't know.
A bit short-sighted, are you? Well, there you are. A very small dry Madeira.
You're very kind.
Just nonsense. Well, cheerio. Yeah. Here's to happiness.
Yeah. Oh, to happiness. Mm.
Oh. Now, what was your name again?
Mablethorpe. James Mablethorpe.
I see. Been with them long, eh, Mabel?
With whom?
The firm.
Firm?
The circus.
Circus, but I'm not with... Oh, you mean the firm? Yes. Yes, I joined them straight from school.
You must have been uncommonly young.
Yes, I was 16.
16?
Got my 4 O-levels and then I was in.
4 O-levels? That what they asked for?
Oh, and of course, I spoke Swahili.
Oh, I'm with you. Mm. It was your Swahili they wanted.
No, actually, it was my arithmetic that swung it.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, I'm having a refill. How about you?
Oh, no, thanks. Too much disagrees with me.
Married man, are you?
No.
Funny. I'm an unclaimed treasure, too.
Ah. I live with my mother, in point of fact.
In Pontefract?
No, in Stevenage, in point of fact.
Oh, yes, I know it. Well, shall we get down to the nub of it?
Oh, yes, certainly.
Now, what's it all in aid of, Mabel?
Well, actually, it's about certain remarks you let slip at Boodle's about your working methods. My sources say you came up with a rather astonishing story.
Which sources are those?
Oh, one is not at liberty.
It was Tommy Bryant, wasn't it?
Bryant? I'm afraid I don't know anybody of that name.
I recall now, Boodles. I was half cut. Told Tommy Bryant everything. Works for your lot, does he? Should have guessed. Little foxy-faced codger with a wooden leg?
Oh, no, I don't think Bryant has a wooden... A leg. Oh, dear. Oh.
Caught you there, Mabel. I haven't offended you or anything, have I?
Oh, no. That's perfectly all right.
I mean, this is all an act you're putting on, isn't it?
An act? I don't quite follow.
Your performance. What? It's a cover.
What?
This bumbling, stumbling front you put on. I mean, your apparent absurdity. It's all a blind, isn't it?
Absurdity? Oh, yes. Well, to be honest, no.
No?
Well, if you must know, I'm a little out of my depth.
Do you mind if we recap on the scoreboard? Was that card you flashed at me a fake?
No.
You do in reality belong to the firm?
Certainly.
And you're pretty high up the ladder?
Oh, very.
You don't by any chance mean the top?
I'm afraid I do.
Afraid?
Yes. Well, some men, Miss Bembo, have greatness thrust upon them, I'm sorry to say.
Beware, Bembo. He has a curious combination of helplessness and hopelessness that makes them eternally instinct to vibrate like a tuning fork.
Sorry, I didn't quite catch...
You said I'm ready to talk. What do you want to know?
Well, according to my sources...
Yes, Tommy Bryant.
Sources. You started your writing career as an author of, I think, historical romances.
Yes, bodice rippers.
I beg your pardon.
Bodice rippers. You know, the wicked Lord Muckpole chases the virtuous Lady Hermione for 221 pages, finally corners her on the moon-bathed ramparts, pokes his big bejeweled finger down her cleavage and rips off her bodice. Bodice rippers.
Oh, quite so. But then, a few years ago, you suddenly brought out a novel, a most meticulously researched piece of work based on the life of Mozart.
The Melodious Masochist, right.
Which shed, wait a minute.
What's that you got?
It's a cutting from the Times Literary Supplement. You don't mind me quoting?
Oh, no, carry on.
Yes, which shed a dazzling light not only on the composer himself, but on his period, his compeers, his society. The very smell, it says here, of Salzburg and Vienna arises from those pages.
The poem was unforgettable.
I beg your pardon?
Unforgettable. Please, go on.
Yes. Well, and then you followed the Melodious Masochist with a stream of equally rich, authentic books about Boadicea, Shakespeare, Catherine the Great, Napoleon, Tolstoy and Hitler. Works of such profound psychological insight and clarity of detail that many scholars, it appears, claim you must have unearthed a cache of contemporary documentary sources hitherto unknown.
Green academic envy, Mabel.
Records besides which the diaries of Samuel Pepys are as the jottings of a modern gossip columnist. Your books seem so real, it says here, that they give the reader the uncanny feeling not so much of brilliantly imagined reconstructions as in, say, Tolstoy, but of eyewitness...
Eyewitness reports, of course. What else? I'm going to have another one of these. Can I top you off?
No. Oh, no, no. I must keep a clear head. You were saying eyewitness reports?
Exactly. That's what my books are.
Ah.
Pure reportage. I know it takes some swallowing, but I really was there.
There? I don't follow.
With Boadicea before the gates of Colchester, with Shakespeare, dear old soul, in the Isle of Man. The isle is full of noises.
Well, no.
You don't believe me. No, I don't blame you. Let me start from the beginning. I'd been up to our Kathleen's wedding in Halifax with my younger sister. I got bevied, inevitably.
Intoxicated?
Coming back, the railway carriage was so stuffy, I kept nodding off, inevitably. And I was reading this appallingly schmaltzy novel about Mozart, or trying to. But what with the drink and the heat? Well, one moment I was reading this mishmash of sentimental claptrap where Mozart has his first audience with Louis XV. And the next moment, I was in it.
Dreaming?
I don't care what you call it. But one moment, I was reading a rank bad novelette about an 18th century musician. And the next, I was suddenly immersed, bathed, having my nose rubbed in the reality. The reality, Mabel. And the minute I woke, I scrabbled in my handbag for a pen and dashed it all down on paper. Everything I could remember. The sleep in the corner of Mozart's eyes, the blackheads on his nose, the purple ink on his fingers, Louis's red braces, the talk, the smell. Good heavens, the smell. Everything. Excuse me. It gives me a thirst just to talk about it. Oh. Now, where were we? Oh, yes. My problem now was how to carry on from there. I had this wonderful fragment, Wolfgang A. and Louis, but by itself it was useless. What was I to do? Write a novel round this one scene? Set this real diamond in the middle of the clotted Bembo-esque paste? Because my own unaided work isn't all that high octane.
Oh,
Fleet Street's crawling with drinks on hackettes like I was. No, it was impossible. And then it came to me. Try again. Same book. Stuffy train. Get spifflicated.
And it worked?
I tuned straight into the 18th century. a hot line to the past. No, a more fishing line I could lower into the deeps of history. No, a trawl net for scooping up ancient time, still thrashing and mackerel fresh.
Yes,
oh, forgive this excess of florid language. Rub the influence of drink, the metaphors fly. Have you ever noticed? Yes, the heart melts. One could write a sonnet or fall in love. No matter. So, after I'd followed Mozart to the grave, God bless his memory, I landed Boadicea, then Napoleon. But rich as the catch might be, my dear, one gets weary to the bone of careering up and down England on trains fully slewed. Mm. And fellow travellers would insist on rousing me in the thick of the Battle of Borodino, for example, to say we were halted at Leamington Spa, dearie. And it was only then that I decided to see if the recipe would work by my own fireside.
Ah.
Trench into a great dinner with a bottle of claret,
yes.
Stoke up the Welsh nuts, sink into my deepest armchair with a dreadful novel, the one you're sitting on, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
And top up with Gateshead gold. Oh, that's all right, stay where you are.
No, I see. So that's why you're drinking rather a lot.
Like a fish. Mm. Yes, my nightly quota. Fuel of inspiration.
You mean the muse is about to descend?
Once I'm in that chair, dear man.
Miss Bembo.
Dawn.
Would you be willing...
Oh, yes!
...to try an experiment?
What kind of experiment?
I have here... Oh, now, where did I put it?
Are you looking for this briefcase?
Oh, yes, thank you, yes. Now... I have here a book.
Oh, really?
Yes. Here we are. Secret Strategy of the Soviets.
Oh, yes.
Well, it's the work of what is known as the Kremlin Watcher. Though I must tell you, he's never been further east than the University of Hull. But it's his, yes. Assessment of Russia's military intentions over the next few years.
I see. Sorry. Huh? Can't help you.
But you see...
Sorry! Tied up with Florence Nightingale. Sorry. Oh,
may I ask...
No.
You'd be doing a great service for your country.
I'm a simple woman, Mabel. I don't meddle in politics. It might be different in a time of, what you call it, national peril.
But isn't it always a time of national peril?
I don't know.
Please, Dawn.
Look here, Mabel. If I do this, and I've not said that I will, I do it for you, not the national peril. Do you understand?
I think so.
You have a way with us girls. What? Did you know that? Oh, God, he's blushing.
Wait a minute. You say the woman got hold of all this information in a trance?
Yes, Prime Minister.
During an after-dinner nap in Tulse Hill?
Yes, sir.
Every last jot and tittle of Soviet intentions?
Yes, sir.
And it all rings true? It
chimes with everything we know.
And she can find the truth about anything you care to name?
Yes, Prime Minister.
By reading a bad book on the subject, which is in a drunken stupor?
Yes, sir.
A cigar?
Oh, no, thank you, sir.
Man of limited vision, aren't you, Mablethorpe?
Yes, sir.
Quite so. Don't you realise you're wasting the lady's talents?
Am I, sir?
Soviet intentions. Not much mystery there. My grandson in a drunken stupor could tell you what those are, and he's 8 years old. But come over here, will you? Now, I want you to read this at once, especially chapter one. Tell her to give me the full works without delay. Well, run along, Mablethorpe.
But Mabel, my dear, what am I supposed to do with this?
Just read it. Fall asleep over it.
The Bible?
Especially chapter one.
But Mabel, heavens above.
Well, that's what we'd like you to check.
What? Oh, I wouldn't do it for another living soul. Pass the bottle. Lives in these parts?
God? Oh, yes, he lives here. Do you want him?
Here? You mean this is the gate to...
Yes, the Laurels.
The Laurels?
That's right. Oh, you're Bembo, aren't you? How marvellous to see you at last. Bembo!
You have me at a disadvantage. Just who are... Ow! What the devil was that?
What's the matter?
Back of my neck. I think it was a bee. It stung me. Ow! Oh, there. It got me again. Curse it. Ow!
Quickly, duck down behind that hedge.
What's going on?
Keep your head down. Oh. It's my beastly brother with his catapult. Oh. He's up that sycamore. Leave off, you little stinker. Sorry, Bembo. Honestly, he's impossible.
Oh, just let me get my hands on the young swine. I'll twist his neck round slowly.
No, keep down.
But listen, where's God?
Well, that's him throwing at you.
God?
Yes, up that tree. Oh, keep your head down. He's got a terribly good aim.
I might have guessed.
What?
He sits up a tree all day firing a catapult at people.
Where do you think I'm going?
It's all right. Here comes Daddy.
Get out of my sight, you insufferable brat. Oh, there you are. Miss Bembo, I believe.
Yes, that's right. How do you do?
Well, mustn't complain, though one could do with a drop of rain.
You were expecting me?
Oh, yes. We heard about it on the hat box.
Beg your pardon?
Do come on after the house. Tea and scones waiting. This way.
Oh, thank you, Mr.
No, please, call me Alistair. We'll cut across the lawn and go in by the French windows. Now, look out for the croquet hoops.
But this is just a Georgian country house.
Yes, well, we're quite fond of it. Here we are. After you.
Oh, thank you.
That's right. Oh, darling, let me introduce Miss Dawn Bembo.
Oh, but this is lovely.
My wife, Jane.
I've heard so much about you.
Oh, you have?
Oh, lots and lots. Sit down, do. You'll have a scone, will you? Oh, leave those windows open, Alistair. It's such a ravishing afternoon. Gladys, dear, would you like to pour?
I say, excuse me, Mrs.
Jane.
Oh, I just wonder if I've come to the right place, that's all. Oh, thank you, Gladys. Actually, I'm looking for God.
Yes, I'm his mummy. I don't know where he's got to. Where has Godfrey got to, Alistair?
Last time I saw him, he was running for his life with his catapult in his hand, his hat box under his arm.
I expect he's skulking in the potting shed till you've cooled off.
One is sometimes at a loss to know how to deal with a highly strung boy.
One could perhaps try putting his head under a cold tap.
That's always a popular notion. I say, Miss Bembo.
Yes?
Your voice, I think you've drifted a bit off station.
I have? My stars, so I have. I seem to be competing with Troy's and his mandoliers.
Now, just a tick. Hold tight, we'll get you back.
I feel as if I'm making a broadcast from overseas and sitting at home listening to it.
Gosh, Bembo, does it hurt?
In the potting shed, you say, Godfrey! Godfrey!
Oh, Godfrey must be tinkering with his hat box.
God, are you there?
Here you are!
What are you playing at? Bembo's right off station, do you hear? Tune her in at once. Oh, do forgive this slight hitch. We'll soon have you loud and clear.
I hope you know I don't find this in the least amusing. Good gracious, I feel as if sparks were flying out of my ears. Oh, hold it there. Oh, that's better. Thank heavens. No, come back. Oh, he's dragging me off again. Back.
Godfrey, back.
Help, murder, I'm drowning, help. Mayday. Hello. My stars. Is that me? Colin Moses.
Daddy, she's all right.
Alistair, she's all right.
Godfrey, hold it there.
What?
I said hold it there. She's on station.
Wow. Holy thump, I say. Goodness gracious. Can you hear me? Such diction. Such cleanness and clarity.
Feeling better?
My voice. It's so clear and sweet. It's as crisp and clean as a buttered cracker.
I dare say you've been a little off station all the time. Most of you are, you know.
But what on earth have you done?
None of my doing.
Godfrey.
But how?
Oh, we increased your brightness, enriched your tonal colours. Don't ask me. My knowledge is very sketchy. You're Godfrey's plaything, not mine.
Plaything? What precisely do you mean?
Toy. Hobby. Sorry, I know you've a rather inflated sense of your own importance, but you might as well face up to it.
I'm Godfrey's plaything.
Well, he made you.
That child with a catapult?
Made all of you. My fault, I suppose.
No, he didn't. I made some of them. I made heaps, actually. And you made some of them, Daddy. The gardeners and the ones named William.
Daddy means the contraption, darling. Godfrey made the contraption. Such an inventive boy with his fingers, Miss Benbow. Oh, I know he has slight personality problems.
One moment. Are you telling me that Omnium, everything, the universe, the human race, is the invention of a boy of, what, 10?
9.
He's rather forward, 9.
I always thought he was somewhat backward.
Oh, darling.
Practically infantile, if you ask me.
Alistair, I believe you're jealous of him.
I believe you're besotted with him.
Please.
Yes?
Do you mean that he created everything? He commands the great spaces, the infinite wastes?
Which infinite waste?
Of the universe.
Well, everything in the hat box.
What do you mean, hat box?
Hat box. Tubular object made of stout cardboard, lid on top.
For keeping hats in.
Oh.
Got Regency stripes running down the side, silver and blue. Some shop's name on top. Marshall and Snellgrove?
Harrods, darling.
No, I'm talking about the universe.
Yes, it's all in the hat box. Oh, come on, I'll show you. Potting shed.
What's those cracking?
Oh, it's perfectly divine now.
I say, Bembo,
Are
you really sweet on poor Mabel?
I'm afraid I am, rather. His porch lamp's not too bright, is it?
This way, go on, this way. Yeah. You in there, Godfrey? Ah, now, young man. Say, how do you do to Miss Bembo?
Oh, how do you do?
She's come to see your box of tricks.
Oh, how do you do? Is this him? He without whose will not one hair falls from the head of man.
Something like that. Come on, hands out of your pockets, old man. Straighten up. Catapult, I'm confiscating this.
Oh, frightful mess. This place needs a jolly good sweeping out.
You can't all come in here, you know.
Darling, when did you last comb your hair?
Look, you'll have the pots over with your elbows.
Gladys, you can't come in here. We're full up. Oh, never mind. See you later. Be good.
So, where is it?
Where is it, Godfrey?
Your contraption.
Oh, under the bench.
Well, heave it out. Miss Bembo is curious to see where she comes from.
Could you make a space for it on the bench?
I don't know where all these pots come from.
Oh, Alistair, look out for that petunia.
Huh?
Look out!
Oh, dear. Oh, well, time it was bedded out anyway.
Could you move the cactus? Now, up. There.
There it is. Lid off, old man. There we are.
I see. Well, I mean, I don't see.
Watch. When I press this button...
Oh,
yes, a map of the world.
World.
Isn't it beautiful? Now, this huge slab over here is the United States, I think.
Yes. No, it isn't.
Oh, well, it's the Soviet Union, then. Godfrey built it all himself with no help from anybody except the, what was it called, darling? The book of...
The Pegasus Book of Radio Experiments.
Yes, the Pegasus Book of Radio Experiments.
But what is it all made of?
You're all inside it.
What do you mean by that exactly?
It's the place where your existence happens.
How does it work exactly?
Well, we make counters with all your programs on and slide them into this slot, see?
Programs? You know, I always suspected it. We're all on tram lines.
Oh, no, I built in a free will factor.
In other words, it's all completely beyond his control.
Programs is the wrong word. What we put on the counters are, I can't think of the word.
Potentials.
Potentials, that's it.
Seeds, if you like. And some of them germinate and flower and bud and fruit, and some just get nowhere, depending on where they enter the network and what's happening around them. It's all pretty random and harem scarum.
But where do the potentials come from?
Out of my head, mostly. Oh, and Gladys's.
You're just a projection of their infantile fantasies.
I beg your pardon?
Darkness and devils. Nothing but grotesque images playing fantastic tricks in the distorting mirror of a child's imagination.
Oh, really?
No, I'm sorry, but you did ask. You come from that little labyrinth in his skull where nightmare and confusion wait round every corner. I mean to say, what? What straight thing ever came out of that?
I don't think I like your tone.
No, Alice, to be fair. Oh, I know Godfrey's rather keen on bloodshed and heartache, but he's decent enough at bottom. And what about Gladys? Didn't she make some of them? She always makes people who are charming and honest and considerate. She's the soul of kindness, Miss Benbow. Pity for others comes naturally to her.
That's why she never wins.
How does it come about that I can travel back and forth in time?
Ah, a typical piece of carelessness on Godfrey's part. A toy abandoned in the potting shed, the lid left off. Enter a questing slug. Slug explores innards of hatbox. Leaves trail of slime, joining your counter to previous counters deep in base of box. And you, when suitably lubricated, slide up and down said silvery track like a child on an ice chute. And that's why it's possible for moments of the past to repeat themselves.
You seem rather anti the whole thing.
Bet I am.
Then why permit it?
Just what I ask myself.
Because he was bored. He gave us no peace. Do you know what it's like to be plagued by energetic children all day long, forever and ever?
But good heavens, couldn't you have taken more interest, given him a guiding bash?
You're absolutely right, but we shirked it. It was anything for a quiet life. I think you've made up my mind for me. The damn thing had better go.
Go? Where?
On the bonfire.
Oh, no!
I was a fool to let you make it in the first place.
But that will be the end of us.
It's nothing to make a song and dance about.
You hate us, don't you?
On the contrary, I've nothing but solicitude for your well-being.
And the answer to that is our non-being?
Yes. To spare you pain.
Pain? We can bear pain.
Oh, dear lady, you lead lives of the most terrible despair. Yet you're cruelly buoyed up by continual hope of some future good which is always just out of reach. Now imagine the universal horror if every illusion had gone and it was known for certain you were all entombed in a Harrod's hatbox at the mercy of a callous young blackguard whose pleasure it is to torment you and that life is sans pattern, sans purpose, sans everything.
But you're so wildly wrong! Our lives can be so wonderful and beautiful.
I beg to differ, Miss Benbow. Your lives are one long agony from the perambulator to the incinerator.
Oh, you're so incapable of appreciating our feelings. No wonder this poor boy's got problems.
Do you know that thanks to this poor boy, one power is now able to destroy its rival 30 times over, and that rival can destroy its opponent 35 times?
But if that's so terrible, why do you want to do the job for them?
To cut short the agony.
And what if your maker decided to cut short your agony?
I'd give him a billion kisses and a huge hug.
Oh, well, who is he, by the way?
Oh, my maker?
Oh, there must have been one.
I've no curiosity on the subject.
No, we never talk about things like that. You mean you don't know?
Well, perhaps we're in a hat box too. Perhaps there's an endless series of hat boxes receding into infinity. The point is academic and will remain so. Now come. Jane, hand me the hat box. Thank you. And now, if you'll lead the way, Miss Bembo.
What is it?
God, that little beast gave me an almighty kick on the ankle. I'll sort you out later. Out you go, Miss Bembo. The bonfire is just beyond the brassicas.
I'm not budging.
Well, then you won't mind me squeezing past. Excuse me. Thank you. Stay there if you wish, but it's so much more pleasant out here in the sun.
I strongly recommend it, Miss Bembo. Ah, where's Gladys got to?
Mommy!
There she is, up the sycamore.
Alistair, will you please listen to me?
Hello, look at Gladys up a tree.
Sir, I appeal to you in the name of my species.
Sorry, can't be done.
Daddy, give me just one more chance. Honestly, I'll give it a complete overhaul. Everything will be ace, magic.
Calm down, Gladys. You'll dirty your socks.
Where's Daddy going with that hat box?
Putting it on the fire, darling.
Daddy, I absolutely forbid you.
Careful, Gladys. Oh, do take care. Oh, I can't bear to watch.
I'll never forgive you, Daddy, if you harm that hat box. Daddy, go one step further down that path and I'll jump.
All right, my love. Jump.
Very well. Be it on your head, murderer.
Oh, Gladys. Oh, my angel, are you all right?
Splinter in my behind. Oh, Daddy, come back. Oh, come on. We've got to stop him. That man is totally unfeeling, Daddy. Daddy, hang on a moment.
Honestly, Daddy, you'll strip it all down.
Oh, how I wish it was their bedtime.
If you burn it, Father, I'll never be your friend again.
Yes. May I put a word
in? Rot, no, spoil, spoil.
Please give me a hearing.
I will. Very, very well, quiet. Shush. Cage full of parrots. Now, Miss Bembo first. Well, what have you to say to me?
Ah, only this. Well, you've been asking for it.
Kick on the leg, you know, isn't the most persuasive plea on behalf of your species.
No, but it did me good.
Yes, and one from me.
No!
Quick, God, grab the box. Come on, Ben, no jump on him.
Yet again, a dropped catch proves costly for England.
Take your horrid great toe out of the remains, you. You mass murderer.
I say there, excuse me, please.
Oh, my poor Bembo, look what
you've done to her.
Do you think I could possibly sit down somewhere? I don't feel at all a thing.
Of course you can, my dear. Come on. Now, take my hand. There. Rest on this stump. Alistair, run up to the house and bring the brandy, quickly.
It's not a brandy job, darling.
Isn't it?
Radio engineer.
Godfrey,
is there anything you can do? I'm just taking a look. The screen's splintered.
There's terrible cracks right across Southeast Asia. Oh, Australia in smithereens.
And Africa.
Poor Africa.
Oh, poor Bembo. Well, she's still singing. There must be life left somewhere. Glad, lend me a hair grip.
Thanks.
The valves okay?
Both of them?
Well, they've lit up, haven't they?
Oh, they have. Only feeble, though.
Potentiometer okay? Wait, I think it's the tuning capacitor. Head out the way, Glad. You're in my light. There. Now, with any luck, if I just twiddle this...
Marvellous! Listen to Bembo almost at full power.
Struck on a massive scale throughout all three continents. Tremors were also experienced in China, the Philippines, and South America. And news is just coming in that more shockwaves have been felt in Iceland.
Well, that's torn it.
See what you've done, Daddy? Assassin!
Darling Brown Eyes, I didn't drop it.
No, dear, it was Mummy's silly mistake. Don't blame poor Daddy.
Very well, Godfrey. Better hand me the box.
Oh, no, Daddy, not the bonfire.
I suppose there wouldn't be any point me going down on my knees.
Mummy, he's going to destroy poor Bembo.
Oh, Alistair, it does seem a little heartless.
But can't you see I'm doing it out of kindness?
Oh, couldn't we just keep Bembo? Burn the rest if you must, but let Bembo live here.
I could take out her counter and run her independently.
Oh, do, darling, let Miss Bembo stay. There's plenty of room.
Oh, well, I see I'll get no peace otherwise. Very well, Miss Bembo can stay.
Oh, Daddy!
Daddy, Ray! Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's very sweet of you all, but I must go back, you see.
To a pulverized universe?
It never was much of a picnic.
That's why I'm ending it.
No. Let it go on. We can bear more than you imagine. Godfrey's creatures are used to it.
I didn't mean it to be like that.
Oh, God, do stop blubbing. Here, use my hanky.
I really am sorry, Bembo. I made a hopeless mess, didn't I?
Oh, nobody's perfect. Well, I must be getting back.
Must you?
Please.
All right. I'll just tune in to your house.
Well, cheerio and all that. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Miss Bembo! Dawn! Can you hear me, Miss Bembo?
Boy, what's going on? Who goes there?
It's all right, Sergeant. Carry on.
Don't move! We've got orders to shoot all looters and loiterers and mad dogs. Which are you?
I've got a friend in here. A very dear friend. She doesn't know what's going on. Dawn! Miss Bembo!
Doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, she's a heavy sleeper.
Well, if she can sleep through all this lot, she must be the world champion. Come on, chum, she'll have cleared out long ago.
Dawn! Can you hear me?
Nobody in, see? Come on, chum, you've got to stay out in the open. That's your only chance.
Oh, God! Well, was that one of ours or one of theirs?
What's the difference? The stuff they're carrying don't discriminate. Well, I'm far off. See you up in the heath. If not, maybe in the year after. So long, mate.
Miss Bembo! Dawn! I know she's in there!
Mabel! How good to see you.
Dawn! Oh, thank heavens!
Well, aren't you coming in?
No, there's no time. Just slip your coat on. We must get to the heath.
I don't see much point in that.
You don't understand. We're being bombed. We're having earthquakes. Dawn, they're using germ warfare.
In that case, let's have a quiet evening.
Yes. Why not?
What will it be? A very small dry Madeira?
Better make it a large one. You've just woken up?
This minute.
Did you see him?
Oh, yes.
Can't he do anything about that?
He's very sorry about it.
Sorry? Is that all?
It's better than nothing.
And if this should happen to be the end of our particular story, well, what about the hereafter?
Oh, I don't think he'll forget us.
Oh, that's all right, then. I think that's worth drinking a toast to, don't you?
Why, yes.
To the future.
To the future, my dear.
Now stand back, all of you. I'm about to throw it on the fire. It could be a shower of devilish sparks. There!
Oh, my poor Bembo.
I tell you what, God, old Bembo wasn't a bad creation. Nice work.
Nothing to do with me. She was one of Glad's.
Yes, I should have known.
Oh, dear, it's still jabbering away.
Don't worry, old girl. It will soon be over.
Daddy, do you think I could have another shot at it?
What? Start the world all over again after that?
Oh, well, that was just a rough draft.
It was certainly rough on them.
I think I'd get it right next time.
Oh, Daddy, do let him. And I'll get behind him this time. Oh, we'll make such a wonderful and beautiful job of it. I know we can.
Well, perhaps one day we'll have to see.
Darling, I think they've learned their lesson.
Very well, just one more chance. Start again from page one and try for a masterpiece. Remember, your first duty is to make a perfect work. Be generous and delicate and pursue the prize, eh? And just one more thing. Let's have a bit less God next time and a lot more Glad. Okay?
So be it. Amen.
Good night, children. Everywhere.
In The Sport of Angels by Ken Whitmore, Dawn Bembo was played by Miriam Margolyes, Mablethorpe by David Sumner, Alistair, Frank Middlemass, and Jane Lowe. Godfrey was Susan Sheridan, Gladys, Kay Adshead, the Prime Minister and newsreader, Peter Wheeler, and Colonel Bryant, Randall Hurley. The play was directed in Manchester by Alfred Bradley.